You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello. This is Elizabeth Powell.
And this is Joseph Grassa. Oh, wow. I jumped in really quick there today.
That's all right. That's good. From Tech Trend Investments.
Oh my God. Wow. Welcome. Okay. Excitement is at an all-time high, I guess.
Wake up, everyone.
Wake up.
It's 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
If you're on your way home, no sleeping at the wheel.
Right. Watch out for the cops behind you. Oh, be careful out there. No, it's been a wild week. Actually, I've lost my voice most of this week. So if you hear me crack a little, that's my voice trying to fight me talking all the time. But if you hear me pause, I'm probably taking a sip of water so that I can try and get my voice back. We've been doing a lot of VCs and AMAs and spaces a lot lately too. And then here we go. These, hopefully I don't pause. So here we are. Just a warning.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Forewarning, there may be some crackling, some pops, and both of us may lose our voices. Last night was a very exciting night. It's an exciting day for, I guess, everything in general. There was a lot happening yesterday, so excitement was at an all-time high. Chatter was at an all-time high. Markets are pumping. Everything is going crazy over the past day, past week. There's been a lot of things happening.
Yeah, the market's green again. But we said this last week. So if you were listening to the show last week, we had talked about like Monday was Black Monday. And then it's just people having fear in the market. And we always bounce back. And guess what happened?
We bounce back.
Right.
We bounce back.
So don't like take emotions and don't get fear. Look at cycles. Look at historicals. Look at past history of what normally happens during different events and just follow along with that. If you get emotional, you'll sell at the bottom and you'll buy at the top. So don't do that.
Yeah, don't sell the bottom, buy the top. That's, we advise against that.
Right. I saw a funny Twitter post today or X post today where a guy is a TikTok quote unquote influencer. And his advice to everyone, he's like, I have the best financial advice. Okay, of course, we don't give financial advice. Do your own research. But this is funny. He's all, okay, here it is. Here it is, everyone. Ready? Listen. Okay. He's all, buy at the bottom and sell at the top.
Yay. Wow. That is the best advice I think I've ever heard.
Of course. Right. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
I think he deserves a Grammy for that advice, because I've never heard that before.
That was just a matter of timing it. So that's the best part about it, right?
That is the best part. I think I also...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to touch on the point that the markets did swing, when we had our radio show last week, ETH was around, I think it started at around 2400, 2440, and to today we're at 2710, 2700, or in that range. So it's all about timing and not being emotional. I mean, I think last week was all about emotions. So
that was
very, very prominent, and it showed itself. There were a few dips that could have shaken people out, but if you didn't let your emotions get in the way and you listen to us and you understood that, and just let it ride, then here you are. You're up, what?
$300.
$300 plus, in a week.
So that's over 15% probably from last week.
I can actually.
Well, no, actually, last Saturday it was at 2214, right? And now we're at. Okay.
Oh, yeah. 11.3%. 11.38% in a week.
Right. So it's always good to get in at the bottom and wait for the top. And if you don't let emotions play, then you can just watch it. And it's also good, like if you're paper trading or watching, like I was saying, buy with $10. And if you do $10, just watch your $10. You can see it fluctuate, go up, to like 11 and go down to 9 and go. But then that way it doesn't hurt to watch it, but you get to see what the markets actually do. Like you're able to watch it like kind of from the sidelines without emotion and just see how it fluctuates before you throw in a lot of money into something. It's good to just watch it on a number that's even and that you're used to seeing, and then you can see it go up or go down and take like a screenshot of it every day. And then you can see how it adjusts and then see what the market does.
And that's a good point, because everything happens again. It's a pattern. The market's a pattern. If it doesn't happen today, it doesn't happen in a month, doesn't happen in a year. Odds are if you've experienced it once and you've paper traded it before, you've taken note of the cycle, you've taken note of the change and how the market reacts to it, odds are the same thing will happen again. And that's what we experienced last week, and that's why we were so confident in letting everyone know to keep their emotions out of the play. Obviously, not financial advice. Do your own research. This is for educational purposes only. But it did repeat itself. The cycle did repeat itself. It was a pattern. And I believe, Elizabeth, you called every single point that ETH has hit thus far for the breakout.
Yeah, since 2017.
Since 2017.
But we also did it when it was at 2000 all the way up to 4450, I think. We called it every single point too there.
And that was the last major dip, right?
Yeah, that was when we were running in what, February?
I believe. On the way up? I believe so. I believe so.
Yeah.
February. Oh, wow. Looking back then, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, remember when we had the big run? We hit 4450. Yeah. So, that's okay. So if you've been in the market and you see cycles and you see what happens and you look at historicals and when there's a major event, you know what is influencing what emotion happens. And like when rumors happen, people will rally around a rumor, and then when the event comes out, then they'll sell on the event. Again, like buy on the rumors, sell on the news. That's just what people do. They build the price into the market and they anticipate it happening. And so they do it that way. But we've had like a pretty good week. Otherwise, I know that everyone was pretty emotional. And then every single time this happens, every single time the Fed meets, we have to calm everyone's nerves because we're like, this just happens every single time. Here's the chart. This is what's happened the last 6 times. And it shows exactly what the chart does. And it does it exactly the same thing pretty much every single time. So here we are. But anyway, we have some fun things going on in the market. And then fun travel things have been happening too. I'm in the Caribbean still. So I'm in St. Lucia right now. The weather has been, actually we've had rain. And then I know California's had its heat wave going on, and then they've had a couple of earthquakes too. So reaching out to everybody, but I'll be back again soon. See how long I can stay without getting the itch to travel again. And actually I have some new things I just recently booked.
Oh no.
Yeah. But so I'm excited to go back home. I'm excited to like go see all my friends and family again and like go see familiar things and get familiar food again and Mexican food. I'm so excited. I shouldn't talk about it. I'm going to get hungry. But
the hunger is going to kick in. You're like, oh, I just want to go back now.
I know. I miss California food. But yeah. But being in the islands too, like getting to try out all different types of things out here is great too. So, and like different styles of cooking. It's so funny. I noticed when I go to the store and I buy things whenever I'm traveling, I buy like 12 different spices and like 10 different bottles of sauce. So like all my grocery consists of like new sauces and new spices whenever I travel. And then I'll have like 5 other things. So,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, what am I spending so much money on groceries? I'm like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I have 12 different kinds of spices here now. But they have that's the best thing about the Caribbean is the spices are amazing. Like they have the best spices out here and the best combination of spices.
And so. I think you said that each different island has had a different culture. Or right. Different spices, different foods, different... I guess that's why I ask, every time you go, I always ask you, what's in the grocery store there? Because it's always different.
Yeah, I mean, like, they all have kind of the same thing, the same kind of theme, but they all have a variation of their spice based on, like, who has come to the island. So, and then the other thing, too, is, like, you're in an island, too. So, like, I'm in an island. Like, when I was in Hawaii or when I'm in the islands out here and you're in Greece, the same thing. Like, if you're out in the islands, they have to import or the food into the islands because they can't grow it on the island, right? So vegetables are really, really expensive out here, and fruits are really expensive out here. Meat is very expensive out here. But like, if it's the local stuff, then it's priced really good. So, like, all the specialty things that normally are expensive in California are cheap out here because that's their specialty. But fruits and vegetables and meat are very, very expensive.
How much was the apple?
Yeah, I paid $2 for an apple.
Oh, my gosh.
$2. And for a head of lettuce, it was $10 for a head of lettuce. Yeah.
See, that's the markup that no one wants to see.
Yeah, but they can't grow a head of lettuce out here. And then they have to ship it over. And so, and to have it fresh and stay fresh. So I can understand it, but it was worth it.
Must have been a good apple, and it must have been a great head of lettuce. It was a very good apple.
I appreciate it. but I found another smoking dill. Besides flights. Okay, so Europe was on sale. Europe still is kind of on sale right now. I didn't end up booking that. But Europe, if you're going out of the majors, so if you're going out of LA or Miami, New York, Chicago, Boston, all the major cities into like London, into Paris, into Greece. There's a couple other ones. Oslo, they're having sales right now on European flights from about 129. And I think some of the sales have ended, but there's still a couple of them left. So you can fly to Europe right now. Like, it's the base price. It's 129, and then you have to add, like, your upgrades on it. But that's, like, the base price. So that was on sale right now. I didn't end up booking Europe. But there's another thing going on right now. So my goal when I was out here is like to see as many islands as I could see. And I think I've been to 13 or 14 islands in the Caribbean now. But I've been like on a goal to see as many islands as possible. And I got an email because I've also mastered how to gamble in the casinos in Vegas. So I get everything free. Like, I get comps and nights free in Vegas. I get free flights out there. They give me free play money. They give me food. They give me like $100 credit for a dinner every year. They give me 4 to 5 free nights in Atlantis and Bahamas. I was supposed to get 4 free nights in Dubai, but I don't know if they're still doing that. And every single time I go, so I like fly into Vegas, I park my car there for free. And then I stay overnight, like for 5 nights there free. But because I learned how to gamble smart, like I trade, so I go for break evens with long shots and get points. That's my goal. Like whenever you trade, whenever you invest, whenever you do anything, the goal is always to break even and catch the long shots. Or break even and have consistent profit over and over again. So by doing so, I got these special offers and I get cruises for, and I haven't been on a cruise in like forever, especially since before COVID. So I get free cruises. I just have to pay the tax, and it's balcony. So it's an ocean balcony. They give me $200 credit and they give me like a $500 gambling money on the cruise, and all alcoholic drinks are included too for the whole entire cruise for eight nights. Oh, and it's, and it's out of Miami, and it's going to the Dominican, 'cause I haven't been there yet. It's going to Aruba, and I think might go to the Caymans too. But I got it just by paying the taxes on it, because you have to pay the taxes.
So this is the leg of the trip that I've not heard about.
Okay, so I'm going back home first. This is in October.
Okay. I was like, another one. It just keeps going. You're never going to leave.
I know. I decided to go back home first, though, but that one's in October. So they gave it to me for 8 nights, basically for free, including on cruises, you get all the food you want, right? Of course. And then they're giving me a $200 ship credit. They're giving me like a $400 or $500 gambling credit. They're giving me all my alcoholic drinks for free, where normally you have to pay for those or you have to pay for the package. And all I have to do is, and they're giving me an ocean balcony. So I have a balcony, like you walk out and you see the ocean. So that the whole room is free. Yeah. All I have to do is pay the taxes. And the taxes are like $250.
$250, and they've given you money basically here's your $500 gambling money. You can basically make all the money back on taxes just from that alone.
Right. And all my drinks are free.
So this is, ladies and gentlemen listening to this, this is how you live the life. Get everything paid for except for the taxes, because we need to pay taxes.
You have to pay taxes, yeah. Same thing with my flights. All my flights are free, but I have to pay the taxes on the way out of the Caribbean.
I'm mind blown again.
But I mean, to do this, you have to be able to work remote, right? And then the cruises now have Starlink too, so I'll have Wi-Fi. That was an issue before, I think. I know that the cruises like didn't have very good Wi-Fi, where people would go away and then you couldn't contact them pretty much for 7 days, but they have Starlink, and then all the ports will have Wi-Fi too.
That's definitely new. And I think Starlink also got an upgrade recently too. If you're following Elon's Twitter, I think it went from like 50 to 100 megabytes per second to like 200 now. So they've basically doubled.
Right. So the more satellites they put up, the better it gets too.
Hopefully you're under a satellite and you reach that 200 peak.
You know, when I was flying in over Hawaii, over the ocean, I was using Starlink, which was amazing. So I was flying for 5 hours over the ocean, and I was able to use Wi-Fi the whole time, where most of the time, if you're flying over the water, you don't have Wi-Fi.
So this for people that understand or haven't used Starlink before, like people like myself, could you go over what it is and like how it works and where you can access it from? And all that stuff, because this is, it's a new concept for me, and it's not like you connect like the airplane Wi-Fi, right? It's not like there's a router on the plane or a router in your house that you connect to, and you have to put in a password to get the Wi-Fi. It's different, right?
Right. So what they've been doing is there's no restrictions on airspace. And so for the last, probably since 2017, they've been putting as many satellites in space as possible. And it's not just like satellites for Wi-Fi, but it's satellites for like government agencies, for weather, for schools. And what happens is every single time a rocket ship goes up with satellites on board, other satellites will piggy on top of it. So there'll be like 20 to 40 different satellites on the launch, and then they'll release those up into space. And Starlink is basically Elon's project. So he has SpaceX, so he's been launching a lot of rocket ships, and then they will release satellites up in space. And so Starlink is multiple satellites in space. I don't even know how many Starlink has now, but Starlink is actually the key point of where you're getting your Wi-Fi from, because it's bouncing off and then going into there. And then, so like if you're in the sky, you're retrieving it from another satellite. And then there's a lot of low income areas or countries that don't have the Wi-Fi or the capabilities. And so Starlink is the satellites that are providing the Wi-Fi for those countries that they couldn't have access before. So when you're traveling and you're in the middle of nowhere, you don't have a tower, you don't have a source to get your Wi-Fi, but it's up in space on the satellite. So they're, as long as they're passing over and there's multiple of them coming over, then you have access to Wi-Fi if you have that service or you have access to it. So Hawaiian Airlines has Starlink as one of the Wi-Fi providers going over the ocean on their flights over to Hawaii. And I know there's a lot of countries that have Starlink. And then I think T-Mobile and some of the other internet internet providers, that they are survivors. Well, they may not be surviving long. I think Elon's coming out with cells
too. Oh no!
Yeah,
that's just market domination at that point,
right? So like, I think like T-Mobile and a couple other ones, because I use T-Mobile. I know that you can get portable Wi-Fi, which is kind of the same thing. So it's bouncing off of whatever towers or whatever you're utilizing to get service in like remote areas. There goes my voice again.
Oh no. But so what I'm taking from this, and in me I haven't traveled too much, but I have been on planes, is I'm actually curious. Like the one thing I think about is you're closer to the satellites than if you were on the ground, right? So right. Do you get faster Wi-Fi in the air?
Well, I mean, you're 40,000 feet up. So when I was flying Hawaii, nobody knew, like a lot of people didn't know I was even flying. I was just online with everyone the whole entire time. I didn't have an interruption, and there was no lag at all.
Better than some hotels in the Caribbean.
Yeah, so I probably have more lag here where I'm at right now than I did when I was flying over the ocean with the Wi-Fi.
That's really, really cool. And that just shows technological advancement. And I don't know how many people tuned in last night, but there was a lot of tech words thrown around in a Twitter space that happened. Right. And that Twitter space was between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. They went live last night on X or Twitter.
And they had 27 million people listen in, I think. It might have increased by now.
Let me check that stat, because I think they broke a bunch of records. Yeah, at this point, it is 27 million people tuned in to listen to the original space. There's also people who recorded it and posted it elsewhere. There's definitely a lot more listeners than 27 million, but that space alone had 239 million views.
Oh, wow.
239 million. That's
right.
What's the population of the U.S. right now?
I don't know. Yeah, but they were talking about tech, which is good. And they were supposed to talk about crypto. And so there's a lot of people listening in to hear if they were going to talk about that. But they didn't mention crypto, but they did mention AI about, I don't know what, how many times?
4 or 5 times at minimum.
Right. And Elon's not big on AI. Like, Elon has some AI stuff, but I mean, that just...
But Trump was the person that mentioned it. He's the one that brought it up. And he kept saying that he wants to increase the efficiency and the power sources for AI and to make it more prominent. And as you guys may know by listening to us talk every week, we are very heavy in AI. So this, so that Twitter space was very monumental for us as AI people and more Elizabeth being an AI developer, the possibilities are just going to start increasing significantly. More and more opportunities.
Right. So it's nice to hear mainstream talk about it too, because we're like so deep in it and we're so involved in it that it's just day to day, just what we go through, and we keep building it and upgrading it and making it better. You know, so that when there are users from like Web 2 or real life on the other side that are real using life. It's like simple, right? Because we want it user friendly for everybody. We want it simple for everybody. But when you first build something out, it's very techy and very advanced. And so then you make it the UI a lot easier and simpler for other people to use. And so, like, when we're going mainstream and a lot more people are using it, it'll be a lot easier to use, where right now it's pretty advanced. So we're simplifying it down so it can be used in day-to-day versus specific, but so that everybody can use it for different things.
Exactly. It's just mass, I guess, the availability to the masses and just simplicity, because in crypto and Web3 and AI and tech, everything is, I'd say, at the base level, super high level. If you, right. As soon as you get into it, it's complex. It's hard to get used to. It's new, right? We saw that with like ChatGPT. No one wanted to use it. It was new. It was hard to get used to. Not much was happening with it within the first 1 to 2 months. But that was more of a mainstream push on AI to kind of let people know, hey, AI is here, and it's not bad. It's used. It can help you a lot.
Right.
And ever since then, it's opened a lot of doors. But the goal of all AI builders and like developers now is to create an AI, but also to make it as simple as possible, to that even the base user has no issues getting in. Right. There's right. no barrier. There's no knowledge needed to get in. It's simple.
Yeah, like low barrier to entry, easy user interface. It adds value instead of making it difficult. It adds value to the businesses or whatever they're doing, so it makes it easier to use. But it's kind of funny. Like, I'm seeing a lot of people, because like AI is kind of like the buzzword right now, that there's a lot of businesses saying, quote unquote, they have AI. <When I know. laughs> So, I mean, like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, like, everybody wants it and they're like saying that they have it. But it's kind of funny, like, the use cases that they're using it in is like, how would that apply with AI? but I mean, it's
getting the word out there, right? It makes people more aware of it.
Yeah, and especially like people don't know how AI works, and then like businesses say that they quote unquote have AI with theirs. You know, they're doing it so that people will go, oh, it's an AI project, but like the business that they're using it in doesn't really necessarily apply with AI, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's mass adoption, right? If they say it's AI and people become comfortable with it, then when they actually get to the real AIs, then right. they won't be scared. Like,
no, this is what AI is. Yeah.
This is really what an AI is. Oh, whatever I was using before, maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, that's okay though. I mean, it's getting the word out and it's getting adopted, and a lot of people have an idea what it is, and some people are using it in different things. So, I mean, it's good. It's great. So, I mean, the best part about it is you know, AI's learning model too. So it evolves and grows based on the information that's inputted into it, and the technology is just growing by leaps and bounds because of that now. And so things that didn't exist over a year ago are so much more advanced now versus how it was. Well, let's see, I got into it probably like May of last year heavily. But the advancement is just crazy since then. And the things it can do now too, it's not scary. It's more like it's evolution. It's making it things better, making things more efficient, cutting down steps. Like before, it would take a lot of different steps to do something. And so it cuts down time, makes things more efficient, adds value. Oops. I'm on my cell phone. My cell phone keeps deciding to do its own thing.
We love cell phones when they do that. I think my phone's been doing that a lot recently. And speaking of tech doing weird things, my speaker system now turns on and off if I turn on and off my heater. So the remote for my heater now applies to my speaker system.
Oh my goodness. Maybe the AI got into there. No, just kidding. No. But we were also talking the other day about nostalgia and Web3 and like talking about how things have grown and how things have evolved. that, thinking it back to like 2021 or
2021, late maybe early 2022.
So when NFTs were in their heyday and everybody was into NFTs and trading crypto, and it was a lot of underground, like people didn't know how to get into it. They didn't know what it was about. And I think Beeple sold like his first big NFT. It was like the highest priced one for over $1 million back then too.
I think it was like $1.1 million first major NFT sale.
Right. I think that was the highest priced one back then. I think since then there's been a couple that have sold more than that, but
I think there's been a handful. I think there's been a couple NFTs that have sold for tens of millions. And those being the CryptoPunks, the OG first NFT to really revolutionize the blockchain. The one that a lot of influencers brought heavy into Web2 and started getting celebrities on board, and that leading into Bored Apes and so on and so forth, and these celebrities creating their own projects. Some of them may not have went so well, but it's part of the cycle.
Right. Yeah, it gives exposure too. So, but before, everything was so underground, like it was so hard to get into. It was hard to figure out how to trade or how to buy and sell on the blockchain or how to market your product or collection.
And even for some people, even get like talk to people, because not many people were, unless you were into the gaming scene prior to cryptocurrencies, you had no one had any clue what Discord was.
Right. I didn't know what Discord was. I mean, I knew what Discord was, but I wasn't active on Discord. I mean, when you're coming from over from Web2, traditional marketing is everybody was Facebook and IG, and then not so much Twitter. Like, Twitter was a little bit, but not really a lot. And so, like, coming over, was trying to figure out how everybody was communicating with each other and how they were marketing everything, or how founders would tell people about their project. Now there's a lot of Web2 coming into Web3. So they're finding different Web3 people to help get the word out. But like, it was going into Discord and talking in Discord. And like, that was big back then too. I didn't even know, like, I knew of Discord, but I didn't know like, where do I talk? Who do I talk to? So I started listening to different spaces and then just going in and talking in different Discord groups. But it's kind of funny. But now it's like a lot easier to get in. You just go to Twitter and find out what people are talking about and what different projects there are and get information about different things and then see what's going on. But
that was where all the chatter was too. That's where everybody and the nostalgia part kicked in, right? And
right.
It started within Discord. Within Discord, everyone would have their own groups, their friend groups, their trading groups, whatever it be, and they would be in there talking about, oh, what's the next project? Oh, what's the next big thing? What's the next movement? What's the next meta? Meta right. being the next like social craze, the new trend. And how what do we jump on first? How do we get involved? What Discord right. server do we jump in on?
And then you had to become on a whitelist, and you had to get approved, and you had to retweet their project and promote their project, and everybody was pitching in to get the word out for the project that was launching. It wasn't just the project founder trying to, whoops, there goes my voice. It wasn't just the project founder trying to push the project out. Like, everybody was involved. Everybody was trying to retweet it and like go in and talk about it and go to other groups and talk about it. So when it launched, it was a big launch.
And you that know? Doesn't happen as much anymore.
No, not at all. Like, now it's just the founder telling everybody about it, and then everybody just jumps from project to project, where before they would all group together and everybody would help push the project and get it to go. And then the other thing, we had callers before too. Like, we had a lot of callers and analysts that would find these projects ahead of time, because that's what I used to do. I would like find these projects a couple weeks in advance and then see who was talking about it, get information about it, see how safe the project was, what I anticipated it would go to. like how much value it'd go up in, and then go talk to my groups about it and call it out. And there's not even really any callers anymore. We were talking about that. There's not that many callers in NFTs. There's not that many callers in tokens anymore. And for people who don't know, a caller is kind of a person. A caller analyst is a person who finds an asset, so an NFT or a token or crypto. And then there goes my voice. Hold on.
Yeah, callers, devs, or actually not devs. Devs are different, but callers, yeah. Analysts, people that basically do their research. And for simple terms, but I'll let Elizabeth dive into the more complex term. But in simple terms, they do their research and they share their findings with the masses.
Right. So it's like somebody who's, so say you're doing stocks, bonds, options, futures. It's somebody who's saying Apple is going to have a good month. Apple's doing this, that, and then we anticipate Apple's going to go up 20%. I'm not calling out Apple for y'all, just so you know. I'm just giving an example. Now watch Apple runs next week. No, but I'm not. So like what callers and analysts do in crypto, and they do in tokens, and they do in NFTs, is they would say, okay, this is a good project. So they would go to all of their different little groups in Discord or Twitter or Telegram and tell everybody, okay, this XYZ project is launching in 7 days and it looks like it's going to be a good one. So I'm going to keep my eye on it. And then the day that it launches, the callers would find out before a lot of other people knew when it launched. And then they would go into all the groups and give the contract address or give the OpenSea address or the name of the project, and then give the links so that people could buy it and tell them this project looks like it's going to do good. And so I'm giving a prediction that I anticipate it's going to do good. And this is the entry price. Like the entry price is a 0.003 ETH, which is now it's what ETH is 27. So it'd be like $7.50.
Yeah.
So like okay, you're going to buy this NFT for $7.50, and I anticipate that this value is going to go up. And usually the value would go to like a 0.1, so it would go up to $270. So in like 15 minutes, you would start at a buy at $7.50, and then in 15 minutes, it now is worth $270. So that's what a caller does. A caller finds these projects at a very low entry, and it has a high potential to run. And then they call it the low entry, and then everybody buys in at the low entry, and then they anticipate it going up. And as it's going up, they just keep confirming that the project is strong and the project is good, and that it's still a good play to be in. And then it'll hit like a 0.1, or some of them even hit a whole ETH. So if it hit an ETH, you went from $7.50 all the way up to one ETH, and ETH is at 2,700 right now. So that was like a big spread. And that's what callers and analysts did. And that's what they used to do with NFTs. But as soon as meme coins came out and people started going into tokens, tokens would get a higher percentage run. So tokens would go in, you would enter at a low market cap of like 2K or 4K. And then if it went up to 100K, you would get a 25X on it. If it went up to 1 million, you get a 2500x. My brain's not thinking.
I think it's a 2500x. I think right.
Right. So then a lot of people switched over to tokens, and tokens happen a lot faster, and there's a lot more of them. There's about 100 that we catch a day. So we started focusing on tokens because tokens were getting a bigger return. Like we said, Brett got a 380,350x. APU got a 98,516x. So if you like, you trade with a dollar, you know, a dollar times 98,516, you take a dollar and you return $998,000. Because yep. That's the X.
Math.
Right. So, and if you did Brett and you invested $10 in Brett when we first called it, and it went 380,350, you made 3.8 million USD off of $10. So a lot of people went into tokens and building out this AI technology. That's what we did. We built out AI technology that is automated, and the bots give the lowest entry based off of all the parameters that we looked for as being a caller, like all the parameters I looked for. There are about 75 different variables that you look for something that you know is going to give it value and it's going to make the numbers run. Hold on, you know, the water.
Yep. And these number and with the numbers running, obviously that's the price going up, whether it be instantly or whether it be a Coke bottle, which we've talked about before. And all these terms that we're going to be throwing around in the next few, I guess, 20 minutes will be, or 10 minutes will primarily be from AI Signal. So check out AI Signal Bot on Twitter, and check out AI Signals on AI Base coming out soon. So
yeah, you can go into Grok also, or you can go into ChatGPT or AI, and Grok, you can ask. Grok, G-R-O-K.
That is the Twitter bot, right?
Right, yeah. So you can ask Grok, you can say, what is AI Signals in crypto? And it'll tell you about our company.
I'm searching it up right now. I'll tell you the exact response it gives.
Is it, what is AI Signal in crypto? And it'll tell you about AI Signals, what we do and what the company does.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is way too long for me to read. But it is giving a very, very, very strong, like, answer. And it's great to see, because it from what I'm seeing now, it actually does a really good job of describing us, probably because it scrapes the internet and it scrapes all the data that we put out there, and it gives a pretty accurate response to it. So I guess the first line.
If you ever want to know what it is, just say, what is AI Signals in crypto? And it'll give you all the information.
And I think on Twitter as well, if you put in Grok and you actually go to our Twitter, there you can actually find out more about the account, a new feature on Twitter. So you can click on the account and you can actually go and say, hey Grok, I want to learn more about this account, and it'll let you know.
Yeah, it'll give you some information. And Grok is getting upgraded too.
A lot of these AIs have been getting mass upgrades.
Right.
And we're noticing all this, and with Elon and Trump, everyone talking about it now.
Well, like, we've been going through a lot of updates too. If you're in our channels, you'll see a lot of updates lately too.
The updates we've been doing, I think, have been more prominent than anything else. And I want to stay humble here, but we're moving at a speed that these other AIs have no idea how to keep up with.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of updates, so the bots have been off and on lately, but we're working on speed, we're working on lag time, we're looking on analytics and detailed information, and then screening out things. Because now we have so much data, we have 18 months of data, and about 80 million points of data now. Now we're up to like about 80 million. And so based off of that, we're able to calculate out numbers and precision and refine things and tune it down and like work on speed and then efficiency. Now, if it could just like help my voice, that would be even better.
Well, the funny thing is, I think it was the other day where your Ace chatbot sounded basically the same with pauses as your voice. I got confused. I went and I got a message from the AI, from the AI bot, and I compared it to Elizabeth's bot, and it's the exact same.
I know.
I'm like, did you send me a voice message from the bot?
But people don't know. I have a AI bot of me. I have an AI bot that has my personality, my voice, and it answers questions based off of my knowledge in our Telegram, and it's on Twitter too. And so it's called Ace. It's my bot, and it's me. It has my voice. And so like, if you ask a question, it'll answer a question. It'll give you detailed information, but it does it based off of like what I do, like my personality and what I like to do. And it has my inflection or tones and voice too. So yeah, I have an official AI bot of myself.
And oh boy, is it accurate.
But it talks about my travels and it talks about my life too. So it's kind of funny.
It's amazing, right? And yeah. In the future, like, I imagine not having to be, or actually, you know, even better, imagine companies with, like, I think we talked about this before when I didn't get scared about if it was you or your bot at the time. Well,
we're also doing a video coming out that's going to have.
Do we want to leave that yet?
Well, we'll find out. We have we have so much advancement in AI right now that we have a realistic ace that's talking on video too. They'll see soon.
It's more than just a voice at this point. More than voices. More than just a text chat.
Right. So it'll be fun.
It's gonna be fun. It's advancements. It's making ease of access greater. It's the whole goal to make everyone's lives easier, right? To change the world.
I mean, if you have so much information, there's a lot of good that you can do with a lot of information. And so the more information the AI has, the better quality of life we have, right? So, like, able to find low-cost travel, able to find great deals on businesses, able to find answers to things that you need within milliseconds, help you with your trading, help you with your portfolio. There's just a lot of things AI can do, and that's what we're building out.
And I think our main goal right now with these bots, especially the AI signal ones, is just doesn't take a lot. Like we always say, just your coffee money. And we've harped on that fact every episode. All it takes is coffee money to get started, or even paper trading. All it takes is just a small amount, $10. Less than a Starbucks coffee nowadays.
To try it out, right?
Just to try it out, and you could end up with tens of thousands of dollars. Obviously, not financial advice. Do your own research for educational purposes only. But the possibilities are there now.
Right. Whenever new tech comes into the world, it gives a lot of opportunities, and that's the best time to get in. So just think of every time there's been a bull market, like in the housing market, when you first get into it, the returns are exponential because it's usually in the very beginning. So say it's the beginning of a new cycle of a housing market and you get in and a lot of other people aren't in it yet. That's when you get your best returns. Whenever new tech comes out, like when cell phones came out or the web came out or cell phone apps, every single time new tech comes out, that's your greatest opportunity is when new tech comes out. And so we're on the forefront of new tech right now. And so the meme coins and altcoins and crypto, and now it's becoming mainstream, but we're still in the very beginning stages. And crypto, it seems like forever because new tech, the cycles are so fast that it seems like we've been in it forever, but we're in the beginning of all these things. And whenever there's a new tech and new opportunities, it gives the greatest returns because a lot of people aren't in it yet. And as it becomes more mainstream and becomes more normal, then it'll settle down. And then you wait for the next new opportunity. But we're in the beginning of it right now.
It's just the start. And the start is looking very, very promising. Very promising. And I want to touch on something. And we say it every time that AI with all this information, it provides everyone a better quality of life. And that's for the better, not for the worse. In the way AI is being created, it's being created to help people, not to make their lives worse, not to make everyone obsolete, not to make jobs obsolete, but to make business owners and lives easier. So
it provides new business opportunities and you can create new businesses out of it. So we're not eliminating anything. We're creating more because of it.
Exactly. The opportunities are being created, not taken away. And it's there to help people for the better, not for the worse. That's something I always want to touch on, especially with people that are just getting into AI. I always say it's a touchy subject to get into when they're first learning about it. And the reassurance that it's always for the push in the better, not for the worse. And it's always to create opportunities, not take them away. Right. So something that everyone should lean on.
So we'll probably talk to you next Tuesday. I'll be back in the States and then we'll talk about some more fun things that are going on.
Ooh.
More adventures and more tech.
We love it. We love it. Every episode, something new, something fresh, and harp on the things that we really want to drill in. But thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of Tech Trend Investments.
Hope you everybody check out AI Signal.
Oh, yeah. AI Signal bot on Twitter. And what is the TG link again, quickly?
Go on to Twitter, AI Signal, and then you can get the TG.
It's in the link in the bio. But thank you, everybody. Hope everyone has an amazing week, and we'll catch you guys next Tuesday.
Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.